there is a certain order which we have to understand and appreciate in the morning when we say the brachas and the birchas hashachar. As soon as you wake up, we said last week, is Moide Ani. The first bracha are the hands. The hands are the porters of the day. The handers are the main actors in the whole procedure of activity. Al Natilas Yodayim, the Loshen Natila, we mentioned last week, Natila means to raise. Natilas Yodayim. We say in Uvodotzi and Ulotolasti Rucha, lifted up. As we explained last week, the machlokes between the Rosh and the Rashba, that the purpose of Natilas Yodayim according to the Rosh is Nekius, is cleanliness. According to the Rashba, it's Vehisgadishnen, a Loshen of Kedusha. That's the hands, the first bracha. We then move on up the ladder, the whole of the guf, Asher Yotza Esodom, which is today's theme, looking at the bracha and understanding in halacha. But let's just move on because there's a sequence which will help a great deal. That's the end of the physical activity, the hands, and then the Asher Yotza is the rest of the guf. Then we move on higher, that the body works with a neshama, Elokai neshama shenosato bi. And that should be said straight after, we learn in a second, straight after Asher Yotza. In other words, the guf has a higher purpose, which will be the theme of next week's shiur, Elokai neshama, which is, it's not just a physical life, it's a life with a neshama. Then you go higher, because HaTorah, and that's the tachlis, La'asoik b'divrei Torah, and then the brocha, the harev, and Asher bocha bonu. This is all a sequence of reaching a height from Moida Ani Anatilas Yodayim, Asher Yotza, and then you go up in a procedure of Ma'alim Bakodesh. The Tachlis is all Torah, that the Guf and the Neshama, Asher Yotza and Elokai, should work together for Torah, La'asoik and the harev, which is later Shiurim Mimitz Hashem. The bracha of Asher Yotza should be said, Mishnah Brua Paskins in Simon Vov, that it should be said related straight away before Elokai Neshama. The reason is Elokai doesn't begin with a bracha, and there's always a maila when a bracha has Baruch Ator before it. Chazal were not koveya that. It ends Roifeish Choboso Umafli Laasois. Maybe if I could just have a siddur. So, just a sinner, a second. I'm sorry. Yishakoyach, thank you. Yishakoyach, thank you so much. It ends, Roifei Choboso Mafli Lasois, Elokai. Elokai, it doesn't begin with a brocha, but Elokai is a brocha, which we'll learn next week. And therefore, you should try and link it together. Some people are not noyik like that, but ideally it should be before Elokai, Brocha Soimech Lechaverta. Brocha Asher Yotza is said whenever one uses the bathroom, for whatever amount, whatever is in the bathroom, whatever amount, one should say Asher Yotza. When you come out, and you should wash your hands three times on each hand, each time one uses the bathroom. We should explain the difference between Al Netilas Yodayim and Asher Yotza. The Brocha of Al Netilas Yodayim is a mitzvah, asher kilishonu b'mitzvoisa v'tzivonu. There's a problem always. Every bracha should always precede the act. It's one of the problems we have, for example, with lulav. When you pick up the lulav, you're holding the lulav already, in a tilas lulav. So therefore we put the eswag the one way round and say the bracha, and then turn the eswag the right way round, because the bracha should be before the mitzvah. Every mitzvah is always like that. But you can't say Al Netilas Yodayim until your hands are clean. So therefore, what we do is we say Al Netilas Yodayim, then make the bracha, and then dry our hands. You should always make the bracha before you dry your hands. Why? Because the bracha has to be before the mitzvah. And the Mishnah Berurah Paskins, the Machaber also says, in Siman Kuf Nun Ches, in Orach Chaim, that the drying is also part of the mitzvah. That's Al Netilas Yodayim. So you wash your hands, then your hands are clean, you'll say Anatilas Yodayim, and then you dry your hands. Asher Yotza is not the same. Asher Yotza is not Asher Kilishon of the Mitzvah Sovet Simon. Asher Yotza is a Boch of Hoidor, Yeshayimim Bechas Hanenin, Boch HaShuchan brings down. Oh, but it's not Begeder Asher Kilishon of the Mitzvah Sovet. And therefore, with Asher Yotza, you dry your hands thoroughly, and then you say Asher Yotzar. The Bochur is said afterwards. It should be said as soon as possible after using the bathroom. A day was brought down in the Achronim that since it's a Bochur of Hoidor, according to that Shitta that's Hoidor, it needs to be after the act of Hoidor. And therefore, as soon as one uses the bathroom and has washed their hands, then you'll make, in reality, if your hands are dirty after the bathroom, you'll first wash them with soap, and then afterwards wash them. They can still be wet. It's not a matter of dry hands or not. After you've washed your hands with soap, then you wash with a keli, dry your hands, and then you'll say Asher Yotzar. But the bocha should be said, l'nusach Eshkenazim, that it should be said as soon as you say it. But l'maisa, if you didn't, you can still say Asher Yotzar until you need to use the bathroom again. Once you have a need to use the bathroom, then you can't say Asher Yotzar, and you can't say any bracha if you need to use the bathroom, any divrei kedusha, because the guf is considered as not clean. As long as you can, lechatzchila, it should be said straight away. B'dievet, it could be said so long as you don't need to use the bathroom. Sfardim have a different minhag. Sfardim, according to the Kaf HaChaim, say it should be said within a half an hour. It should be said as soon as possible because of the din of smichus. The brocha itself sometimes has a contest with another brocha. For example, supposing you have said bo'im in emezaynais, or you said a shahakom, and then you need to use the bathroom, you drink something, and now having come out of the bathroom, there's a din of alamichya, or bo'im nefoshes, and asher yotzar. Which comes first? The Mishnah Berurah paskens in Siman Zayin that the first brocha should be todir. Todir ve'einoi todir, todir koidim. What is more frequent always comes first. Since Asher Yotzar is more frequent, Asher Yotzar should be said first, after any bracha. Whatever the bracha is, the first bracha, if you have a contest between two brachas, which one to say, Asher Yotzar comes first because of the din of what is more frequent. More frequent is Asher Yotzar. If you use the bathroom before a meal, and you come out of the bathroom, you wash your hands, so the hands are already tohar. Now there's a certain problem we have, in that you're going to wash your hands again, but the hands don't need washing for anatilus, because you just washed your hands from the bathroom. You washed your hands three times literally until the wrist, not four. Four is in the morning for ruach ro. For the bathroom, every time you use the bathroom, always with a keli, mamash with a keli. People have asked me a few times whether you need to use a keli when you need to wash your hands. Always with a keli, because there's a tumah inside the bathroom. Three times on each hand. You fill it up with the right, put it into the left. One, alternatively, one, one, two, two, three, three. On each hand up to the wrist. And when they're dry, you say Asher Yotzar. But now you're going to have a meal. So the problem is the hands are already tohar. Api halacha, what you should do is what's brought down in the Mishnah Berurah is to touch the bottom of your shoes. The shoes are a mokum of tumah. So it's a little dance. You're like, touch underneath your shoes, and then you'll wash again to say Anatinas Yadayim. Because Lamaisi would be a brocha she'ena tzricha, and the hands already toha after the bathroom. So again, you'll make Asher Yotzar, wash your hands with a keli, say Asher Yotzar, and then touch, and not the top of the shoes, that's the whole shine in halacha, where is the mokum on the shoes? Shoes is only underneath, not the laces, not. When you touch your shoes, it's only when you touch underneath the shoes, which is an unclean area, underneath the shoes, and then you're washed again for the keli once on each hand. Then it's only a revius, once, like we said last week. That's with a revius on each hand, or the keli itself, which we use, according to Rav Chaim Noah, already has 12 revius in it. So it's enough, one, that's for Al-Natilas Yodayim. If you're saying Asher Yotzar, and you hear a brocha, can you answer Amen in the middle? One should not answer Amen in the middle, but you can answer Amen Yehi Shmei Rabo. You can answer Baruch Hu. You can answer Baruch Hashem HaMevayach Le'olam Vored, but not a regular Amen. If you hear a brocha in the middle, you can't answer Amen. And you can't even answer Amen Yehi Shmei Rabo or any Kedusha or Kodosh Kodosh once you said Baruch Ato Hashem. And once you said at the end of the brocha, once you started the bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Yotzar, now you hear Kaddish or Kedusha. You can stop in the middle, and answer Kaddish of Kedusha, Amen Heishmer, or Amen of Okela Kodosh. Amen Heishmer Rav, or you can answer both. You can't answer Amen. Now you come to the end of the bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem, and then you hear Kaddish of Kedusha, you have to say, Vayfeichol Boso Mafri Nasu. That's a hefsek. So at the beginning, once you said Melech HaOlam, you could answer. Once you said Hashem, of the end of the bracha, then you have to finish the bracha before you answer anything at all, any other expression of Amen. These are the, as far as I can remember, I don't think there are any other points of halacha which you might have in Asher Yotzeh. These are the intrinsic halachas which we have in answering Amen Yimei Rabba. I think those are the aspects that we've covered. What I'd like to do now is give a certain daya and hashkofa in saying the bracha, and it needs a chizuk. We say it so often, and all these brachas of Birchas HaShachar, there needs a certain depth of understanding what's behind the bracha, what we're saying inside the bracha, to give it a reality every time we say it. The bracha should be said, Asher Yotzeh should be said standing. Reason why we say it is because we're in the bracha I efsha la'amoid lefanecha, I efsha liskayim la'amoid lefanecha. Since one it mentions the word standing, but b'di'evit if you sit down, it's certainly yotzeh. But lachatchila it should be said standing, la'amoid lefanecha. Maybe just one last point: if you're unsure if you said the bracha, sometimes the person says is not sure 5 minutes later whether I said Asher Yotzeh or not. Mitam sofek, the Mishnah Berurah being the mechaber being standard there, that the next time you should say Asher Yotzeh, you should say it twice. You're not sure, but we don't paskal like that. Sofek brachas lahokel. If you're unsure if you said the bracha, then we don't say it again. But what you can do as an eitzah, if you're not sure if you said it, you could say the bracha without Shem Hashem. If a person feels a hakora and he feels upset that you never said Asher Yotzeh, you could say Baruch Ato Melech Ha'olam Asher Yotzeh. It's still a bracha. You didn't say Shem Hashem. In the mokum of sofek, we don't say Shem Hashem. Baruch Ato Roifeichol Boso Mafli Lasses. If a person feels upset and you're unsure whether you said it, we don't repeat it. Sofik brachas lahokel. Sofik deraisa lechuma. This is not a deraisa, it's only a derabonon. So therefore the bracha can be said, but without Shem Hashem. You can't repeat the bracha in a mokum of sofik. Let's go on now to some aspects of depth which will help, I hope, when we say the bracha. In the Siddur HaGroh, he brings down from the Hakdoma to Shah HaBechina in Chovas HaLvavos a moshul which applies not just to Asher Yotzeh but all these brachas which we say every single morning. Of a child who is lost, who is abandoned, and a kind man takes the child in and looks after the child like a stepfather and provides everything that the child needs. The child grows up with Kol tuv sheba'olam. He's spoiled as a child, as a foster child, he's brought in. After some time, this kind benefactor then hears about an enemy of his, a certain soyner, who is under his control, a child who is being hurt and being hard and he's cruel to. And this kind benefactor then goes over to the soyner and says, listen, if you want, I'll take over this child for you. And he brings this child in and looks after a second child in his house. The second child who's given, who's brought up, receives nowhere near as many pleasures and luxuries as the first child receives. And yet the second child feels unbelievably great gratitude to the benefactor because he remembers the past where he was and now where he's being brought up by this kind benefactor. And he's overjoyed. And anything that the kind man provides for him, he can't stop saying thank you. He's so overjoyed with what he has. So Zuchovas HaLvavos, this is the problem that we have. We are so used to using the bathroom. We are so used to standing up straight, Zoykev Kufufim. We have such shigra, such regular routine of Malbish Arumim and all the brachas that we say. We feel we are really like the first child. But if you'd make a visit once in a while to an emergency room in a hospital or so on, suddenly realizes what it's like to live without being able to use the bathroom or without having eyesight or without being able to hear, then already the brach would have much more meaning. The purpose of this shiur is really to put us in line like the second child, with such routine for us using the bathroom. It has such, it's almost a nothing to us. You'll see after we've gone through a few of the mefarshim, which are included in this bracha, we have to really upbraid ourselves and become far more sensitive to what's going on inside this bracha and give it at least, how long does it take, 30 seconds, 35 seconds to say it, to stand still and not to be busy with anything else when we're saying it. It's brought down in the Kaf HaChaim, a whole segula, that if a person says Asher Yotzah carefully, it's a segula for good health, that a person will not be troubled with ill health. If he takes your time, you stand still and without doing anything else, any other activity. Some people walk, some people do sign language, some people, if one just stands still and thinks about some of the points which Amit just said we're going to bring out, I hope it'll have a siyata dishmaya to be give chizuk to this very important bracha. I'd like to go through certain words that we have and explain them, first of all, how they should be said, which is important, before we go into exactly the mefoshim inside. We've mentioned it previously, but when you say the Shem Hashem, Baruch Atah Hashem, it should not be said with a chirik. It's not Adi and then Noi, it's Ado. It's a cholam, Ado or Adoi, but it's not Adi. You have to say the Shem Hashem correctly. Some people have a custom to say Chalilim, Chalilim, and it's a mistake. It's Chalulim, Chalulim. Chazal bring out that the gematria of twice Chalulim is 248. And there are 248 bones in a person's body. Chalulim, Chalulim. The Arizal brings down that there are altogether 45 words in Asher Yotzah, says the Arizal, and the gematria of Odom is 45. It's all the Odom is inside. Each word counts, and you'll see in a second some words are missed out. Some people say one Gilsa and another Gilsa, but at the end of the day, the stipler was missed out three words here, and the other three words he said, you'll see, let's just go through the other words. Each word which is printed, which we have as a Nusach, should be said carefully. Some are noyeg to say, She'im yisoseim echot mehem, ve'im yiposeach echot mehem. But the Mishnah Berurah, the Chofetz Chaim brings down, we are noeg the opposite. She'im yiposeach echot mehem, or yisoseim echot mehem. First yiposeach, and not yisoseim. In other words, it functions and then closes, rather than closes and then opens each part of the body. Some Siddurim have a Nusach which says, Yi'efshar liskayim belamod afilu sho'o achas. Not even 1 hour. Oh, but the Chofetz Chaim leaves those words out and says that we don't say that. We don't say e efshar lamod shor achas. The reason is because if one of the limbs or the bones would close for a certain short time period, we would be able to survive. And therefore, supposing your eyes closed and you couldn't open them for an hour, efshar liskayim. Or if one can't use the bathroom layolenu for an hour or something, and afterwards you can. So you can survive. And therefore, it's incorrect. Some are naive to say it. Yes.
If an artery closes, which may
Nachon.
Portion do interpret the whole idea as talking about all the openings in the body, not just the digestive system.
Yes.
Well, then a person can't survive through the shalash.
But if you have a look in the Mishnah Berurah, he brings down, but nevertheless, you're right what you're saying, but nevertheless, since we are naive, it's referring to any limb, and any limb is yes, ilamo. You're right, as far as the arteries are concerned, there are some which couldn't survive, but some could, and therefore it's better not to say it. The Mishnah Berurah leaves out the Loshon and says, better not to say, afilu shor achas. You should say, e efshar, not a efshar. E efshar means it's not possible. E efshar is kayim lefonecho. Let's go now into the depth of some of the phrases which we have inside the bracha. Asher yotza es ha'odom uchochma. There are many dayas of what the word chokhmah here means. I'd like to bring two. The first is a Tosfos in the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Samach on the base. Tosfos learns out that the meaning of the word, and the Shulchan Aruch also brings it out in Sif Vov, in the Loshon of the Mechaber. Sheyotza es ha'odom v'chokhmah. The chokhmah is that everything for the creation of man is prepared before. Eizehu chokhom haraya es ha'noilad. What's planned ahead of time. And therefore, the Yetzirah of Adam, the creation of man, everything is prepared for him before he's born. And that's the Chochmah in the Bria of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why man was created at the very end of creation, on the sixth day. We learn from that that the whole Bria beforehand was all for him. And therefore, the Yetzirah of Adam, the Chochmah, says Tosfos, is that the world was created and all his needs are there. The Gemara Nida Daf Lamed brings down, Noilad, Ben Noilad Ba'olam, Bo Kikaroi Biyodai, Sha'a Bechina learns that. As soon as a person is born, the bread is put in his hand. And so long as a person is alive, there is food prepared for him. It might be hard sometimes to find it. And sometimes a person has a problem with parnosa, but kol zman sheyesh chayim yesh oichel, there's food and things are prepared for him. It's all prepared beforehand. Everything is there for him beforehand. And therefore, the chochmah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything that we need in the Bria before we came on the scene. He saw our needs and then later created us, having prepared the table already for everything that we might need. It's a beautiful loshen in the Mesilas Yeshayahu in Perek Kof Aleph. He brings down, and what about all hishtadlus that we have to make? A person has to work for parnasa. So how come it's all prepared? And the Mesilas Yeshayahu brings down the famous klal, hishtadlus is not moel, it's muchach. Unfortunately, it's not that hishtadlus necessarily brings us all our parnasa, but it's a tax that we have to pay. It's a fine that we have to pay from the time of Adam HaRishon. We have to make an effort for Ishtadlus, but not that the effort necessarily gives us all that we need. If you have a look in, there's a short Perek Kof Aleph, Mesilas Yeshayahu brings down, we must make a Ishtadlus. But we're saying it's all prepared. That's already a knas which is on top of us. It's muchach of Eino Moyel. A gift I always used to say to Talmidim who went out into business and left the yeshiva, everybody has to make a shladlus, but he used to tell them also, always don't forget, don't work too hard when it comes to it. You don't make a parnasa, you take a parnasa. You take what the Ribono Shel Olam gives you, and you have to make an effort, an honest effort, a genuine effort. That's according to the klala from Adam HaRishon. But the shladlus has to be made. But in reality, it's all prepared for us. We have to make an effort. That's an aderech hachayim. As the Lashon says in Mishle, Perek Vov, B'tachel Hashem b'chol ibecho, ve'el binosra al tishoin. B'tachel Hashem b'chol ibecho, the real koichas must be put in b'chol ibecho, in koich ha-tfila, in koich ha-vruchnis. Ve'el binosra, your own understanding, the efforts which you make, says the Vilna Gaon, al tishoin, mitarash mish'enes. Don't rely on it. Don't lean on your efforts. You make an effort, but don't rely on it. Kol Alev is with the avoid of tefillah and avoid of Savuchnias. That's where the Ikka is. The Tofel, one must make an effort, definitely. But there's a limited effort and not too much, otherwise it damages the Ikka HaChayim, which is the avoid in Ruchnias and Kedusha, which a person must pursue in avoid of HaKodesh. There's a beautiful Loshen which is brought down in Medrash Shoche Toiv in Peirat Ches, in Tehillim, where Dovel HaMelech describes exactly what the scene is for us when we are created. All the malachim turned around and said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Omor enosh kisis kerenu? What is man that you created him? Uben Adam kisis kerenu? Why do you give so much honor and so much privilege to a ben Adam?" Say the malachim in Shamayim. V'tachasreu ma'at me'elokim, and you provided for him almost is like Hashem. V'kovet v'hodot ta'atreu. Why have you done so much for him? Say the malachim. It's a medrash discussion in Shemayim between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Malachim, why Adam was created. And the Ribono Shel Olam answered back and said, Tzoyne va'alofim, all the thousands of sheep in the flock, in the field. V'gam b'hamemos sodai, and all the animals and the cows in the field. Tzipor Shemayim, all the birds in the heaven. Udegei hayom, and the fish in the tree, in the sea. Oiver oichos yamim, and everything that crosses and flies. What's it all for? It's all for man. It's all for him. And therefore the Malachim turn around and say, Hashem Adonainu, Mu'adish Imcha b'chol ha'oretz. How great is your name? It's all for Adam. All that's created is all prepared beforehand for Adam. It's not for them, it's not for the sheep, it's for Adam to take pleasure from the sheep and the birds and the fish, and whatever there is supplied in the world. The Medrash brings a beautiful moshav of a king who made a magnificent tower and furnished it with furnishings and luxuries and delicacies and everything, and left it. And they all turned around and said, but Melech, what did you make it for? He turned around and said, it's for my son, for my son. So let him go and live there. And the son didn't live in the Migdal. And the king got so upset, listen, I made you a beautiful tower, it's for you. Take pleasure from it. Meaning, in the Nimshal, the Moshe created such a beautiful world. It's all for you. It's all for Ben Adam. It's all for our pleasure. It's all prepared beforehand. And that's the first understanding of the word Asher Asa Es Adam, the Chochmah. The Chochmah is, the Machaba also paskens like this in Shulchan Aruch, that the world is created for man and then he was put in the world. And that's the Yetzirah of Adam. The second approach for Chochmah is brought, we can have a look at the Levush. In Shulchan Aruch, Simen Vav. And the Levush explains in the biology, the anatomy of a human being. The Chochmah is phenomenal in sequence of how the world is created. First, says the Levush, is the Koach HaMekabel. The Chochmah is that man is able to take in all the food that he needs. Koach HaMekabel. The mouth, the tongue. So stop at the tongue a second, just how the tongue works in biology. Just you have to mention certain biological features here. They say that on the tongue itself, I remember once reading, there are over 9,000 cells which are like rosebuds. You look at this, like little buds on top of the tongue. And around every single bud, there's a trench. And the trench has in it channels where the food is tasted on it. And as it's only by liquid, we don't have any taste on the tongue for solids. It's only when you melt the food in your mouth, the solid, that the taste of the liquid is felt on all of the cells, the 9,000 cells which are on top of the tongue. They say in anatomy that the front of the tongue is where you taste what's sweet or salty. But the side of the tongue is where you realize when something is sour. And the back of the tongue is where you realize when something is bitter. And the sensitivity of the tongue is so great that you can realize when 1 out of 2 million cells is bitter. You have such a fine taste of bitterness. You can tell. Most of the food is sweet, but it's a slight taste of bitterness. So they say, it's an incredible ability, the tongue, the Mekabel, to take in the food. That's the first, says the Levush. The second is the Chochmah of Ma'achel. Ma'achel means to digest the food as the food goes down. As we know, the whole stomach is lined with, I think it's, if I remember, 75,000 glands, with all the food as it goes down, and it expels, I remember once reading, 6 pints of acid in order to work on the food as it goes down. It's like hydrochloric acid. It's a strong acid as the food goes down. That's ma'achel, to digest it. And then all the enzymes and the pepsin and everything, it passes down and into the intestine, and the intestine, phenomenal ability as the food goes down. This is not a biology lesson, by the way, but we have to understand what it means, the chochmah, the ma'achel. It goes down, it's like squirted into the intestine, into the pancreas and the rectum as the food goes down. Phenomenal chochmah of ma'achel, the ma'achel. Thirdly, says the Levush, is the koach hadoiche, to expel the food. All the food besides, it all finds its way. What goes into the liver, into the blood, into the skin, everything finds its way. But the koach hadoiche is to expel all. And that's what Asher Yotza is. The Aruch HaShulchan and Simen Vov explains in great detail. That's what this bracha is. Koach to expel. Aruch HaShulchan learns that the bracha of Asher Yotza is like a birchas hanenin. But it's different from every other one. Every other birchas hanenin is optional. This birchas hanenin is compulsory. One has to say this birch. Not like a birchas haidor, but it's like a birchas hanenin. It's the pleasure that one has that the guf is able to expel, and has to expel, and can expel. And finally, says the Levush, the first system is the mekabel, the second is the koach ma'achel, digestive, the third is the koach hadoiche, and the fourth is the blood system, which is a phenomenal chochmah. I remember once reading that there are thousands of miles of where the blood goes all over the body. 9 pints are continually charged around, carrying the oxygen, and the carbon dioxide is expelled, and the red cells, the white cells which fight disease, and the platelets, and the blood coagulates and congeals. Unbelievable chochmah. This is all in the blood system. And that is briefly the two themes of chochmah. According to the Shulchan Aruch, it's the Chochmah of the creation, that everything was created first. And according to the Levush, we took two themes. The theme of Chochmah is the ability of what the Guf does. The Gaon, the Vilna Gaon in the Siddur HaGaon, explains a little bit further from what the Levush is saying. The Levush says that each of the koichos work. Says the Gaon, what is phenomenal in the Chochmah is they all work in sequence. They don't go out of order. In other words, what would happen if the whole system would makabel and then straight after it would expel? No. First it's makabel and then it's ma'achel, it's digested. And then ma'achel, and then the doicha, the koyach of expelling the food, follows in process, says the Gaon. That's the Chochmah. The Chochmah is the order in which each of these systems work and don't change their order, so says the Gaon. Uvaravai, nekovim, nekovim, chalulim, chalulim. We've explained that the chalulim is the word twice is 248. And now we have a phrase, golui v'yadua, lifnei chisei chavodecha. It's revealed and it's known in front of your holy throne. I once heard from a Matisyo, in Gateshead I remember once hearing him saying, that only twice in the Siddur is the phrase of golui v'yadua lifnei chisei chavodecha ever used. Once is here. Where's the other? Where else do we ever say the words lifnei chisei chavodecha? Says the Gaon, there's a nusach in the machzor for Rosh Hashanah, sheyale kol tkia utrua ushvorim lifnei chisei chavodecha. Says the Vilna Gaon, those are the two only places where you have lifnei chisei chavodecha. The lowest and the most animal of all instincts of a human being is to use the bathroom. The highest of all moments of Kedusha in the whole year is the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, which goes lifnai v'lifnim. Today actually is the famous yahrzeit of Rabbi Yisrael Salant, the famous maisa that Rabbi Yisrael once explained, Zeichar Tzadik Livracha, Zechus Hayogen Aleinu. He once explained that on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol goes lifnai v'lifnim. On Rosh Hashanah, we all go with the koyach of the shofar. The shofar takes us lifnai v'lifnim, right in front of kisei kavodecha, koyach of the shofar. There's nothing lower than the bathroom, and there's nothing higher in kedusha than the shofar. It's like a bracket. There's nothing out of the bracket. Everything, therefore, says the Gaon, is lifnei kisei kavodecha. If the bathroom is and the shofar is, then everything in between is also lifnei kisei kavodecha. Those are just the two extremes, that he knows everything that's going on. That's how far is golui v'yadua. We've taken the two extremes here of an animal instinct and in kedusha, and the rest is just a bracket holding everything in between. It's a beautiful pshat. But perhaps we can give it a little bit more of a basic understanding of what does it mean. The Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis, Amud Aleph, brings down the famous discussion which went on between Eiv and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he complained that you got the wrong person. I'm not Oyev, I'm Eiv. And he claimed that you spelt my name wrong. You mixed me up with Paroi. Paro, in other words, the Yud, instead of going before the Vav, it's gone after. You think I'm Oyev, I'm Eoyev, you got my name wrong. All the problems that I have in life are wrong. And then the Ribbono Shel Olam turned around and said to Eoyev, there are many points of rebuke, which we'll bring out later, but one of the points he brings out is that Hashem told Eoyev, did you know that on your body, anywhere on your body, two hairs can grow out of one root? Called a follicle, one root, except on your head. Never ever, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Eoyev, are two hairs, do they ever come out of the same root on the head? If they would, then your mind would never be able to, because that's where the brain is, and in the Neshama, you'd never be able to control your mind. You would go crazy. You would go Meshuggah. Your head can't hold it. On the rest of your guf it is, said Ribbono Shel Olam, Bein nima nenima, which means a hair on the head, lo hit balbalti, Bein Eiv Le'oyev Hitbabalti, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I never made a mistake with any hair on your body. Do you think I made a mistake between Eiv and Oyev? It's all B'cheshbon. It's all Lifnei Chisei Chavodecha. Even the hairs on one's head and the hairs on the body, it's all measured Lifnei Chisei Chavodecha. Let's move on. She'im Yiposeach Echot Mehem Oy Yisoseim Echot Mehem If any part of the body would open up too much or close when it's not needed to be closed, it would be impossible to exist. That same Gemara, perhaps we can look at in another capacity, which is brought out that the Ribbono Shel Olam turned around to Eiv and said to Eiv, Eiv, did you know that there's a certain deer whose womb is so small, she's never ever able, if you look up in the Gemara in Baba Basra Daf Tezayin, she's never able to give birth by herself, because the womb will never open enough in order to allow the baby, the fawn, to come out. Says Ribbono Shel Olam, did you know that the second that that deer has to give birth, I organize for a snake to come along, and it bites the snake, and the snake gets a shock, and the womb opens and the baby comes out. This certain deer has to have the snake to come and bite it. It's not poisonous, a certain snake, but the shock opens up the womb and the deer gives birth. And the Ben Shalom answered him and said, Bein rega l'rega lo hitbalbalt. I never send the snake too early or too late. The snake always comes on time. That moment she can't open up, and I make sure it does open up. Tremendous nace. It's also a maisa with a mountain goat, the Gemara brings down. There's a mountain goat who is so cruel to her child that when she's giving birth, she stands on a cliff and delivers the baby over the cliff to damage the child. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says that the second that she gives birth, I bring along an eagle, a bird of prey. The Gemara brings down and it swoops down and picks up the baby and brings the baby in front of the goat, and then the goat nurses the child, the baby. But until that time, she wants to throw it away. And I bring Bein Rega L'Rega, from that second when the eagle has to come, the eagle picks up the baby and brings it back to the mother goat. I never made a confused moment. I always knew when the right time was to come, when the eagle, the snake, should come. It's all She'im Yiposeach Echot Mehem, or Yisoseim Echot Mehem. But let's turn maybe a little bit to the human anatomy, which is, I remember reading some time ago, when Baruch Hashem we had children, just what does it mean when a child is born, which is a phenomenal nace, just a few minutes on understanding that. When a child is inside the mother, the child doesn't breathe, because it relies on the mother to give all the oxygen and everything. But as we know, that the heart itself of a human being has two sides to it. There's a right-hand side, which has a pump on its own, which sends the blood to the lungs where it receives the oxygen, and then it goes back to the left-hand side of the heart, and the pressure, the pump on the left-hand side of the heart, of every human heart, is much stronger than the right-hand side. Why? Because the left-hand side has to send the blood all the way around the body. Now, on a baby, before a child is born, there's no difference between the right-hand side and the left-hand side. It's called in anatomy the ductus arteriosus. It's like a channel which passes from the right hand, and it's open. There's no difference. The problem is when a child is born, miraculously, you have to have it closed, because if the left-hand side, which works far harder than the right-hand side, the heart would collapse. So there has to be a division which is made, and that ductus, that channel, closes up the second a child is born. Phenomenal miracle. So that the left-hand side can work harder than the right-hand side of the heart to pump the blood around. It's phenomenal. Nace which happens. Another nace on childbirth. They say, so I remember once reading, that the child of a baby inside their mother is full of liquid. There's no air inside, because she relies on the mother through the umbilical cord. So how does it work that the lung dries up? And they say a woman in pregnancy, in the 20th and 24th week of pregnancy, there's a certain liquid which is secreted into the lungs through the umbilical cord to the stomach of the child, and it stays on the chest, on the stomach of the baby, for the moment of childbirth. And at the moment of childbirth, that first scream of the child, once the child breathes in and screams, miraculously, the air acts on the liquid, and it's like a litmus, and it dries up the lung within seconds. And that's why the child has to scream and shout as soon as they're born. It dries up and the lung works with air instead of liquid inside. Phenomenal nace which takes place. That's what he means here. That she'im yiposech echad mehem ha'isaseim echad i'evshar l'iskayim. Impossible to survive without these miracles which take place. Just been only mentioned a few, the birth of an animal, and also the birth of the deer or the goat, also of the human being as well. Phenomenal nisim in order to make sure that the heart should, the lungs should dry up and the heart should pump the left side stronger than the right hand side. But let's conclude here the bracha, even though we haven't done justice to everything, but certain points just to stop and think what they're saying here. Baruch atah Hashem roife chol boso umafli lasos. First, nearly every limb which is inside the human body has inside it a healing process as well at the same time. As we know, if you break a bone, la'aleinu, so the calcium is exuded out of the bone, and therefore that creates the cells for the bones to heal. How does that happen? How does the bone join together again? How is it that the blood inside is continually moving at a very fast pace all the way around the body and serves every single limb, and yet the second it comes out, it congeals? And if it wouldn't congeal, then you lose all your blood immediately. It's a phenomenal nace, that this ability of the blood to congeal as soon as there's a cut. If it would just flow, it would just flow out all the time. That's what it means. As soon as there's a wound, it starts to heal by closing up, and the blood congeals as soon as a person has a cut. The fact that the eye can give tears, or the skin sweats, all these are procedures of refua inside the body. And finally, umachli lasos. We can perhaps turn to the Lashon of the Ramah in Siman Vav. What is the wonder to do? The mafli lasos. What is the wonder? And the Gaon also talks about this as well. In reality, the human body and the survival of a human body depends on two features: the physical side and the spiritual side. We'll learn next week in the Bocha Elokai Neshama the spiritual side, the Neshama. But in reality, it's a wonder. Because, says the Gaon, the guf is totally physical. Why is it that if you don't eat, the neshama leaves? The neshama doesn't need the food. The guf needs the food. Asks the Gaon, the mafli lasos is that there's a partnership of the spiritual and the physical side together. The neshama doesn't need any food. And yet the survival of the neshama is dependent on the food that a person eats. That shikum, Machaber brings it down as well, is remarkable, is a pele lasos. It's a wonder that that's how the body works. Each depends on the other. The neshama on the guf and the guf on the neshama. And maybe, as a suggestion, I don't know, maybe that's what Chazal mean when they say, when you eat, the food is nourishment for the body. The bracha is nourishment for the neshama. So they both receive mazayin ruchni and mazayin gashmi. They both need food in order to keep going. Maybe that's, I suppose, how a great tzaddik survives, because his equilibrium is perfect. The neshama is supporting the guf, and the guf is supporting the neshama, and it's all in balance, and that's the way a person survives. The neshama, the spiritual side, and the physical side. Maybe we can say that's what they mean when we say Roshoim b'chayehem nikroim mesim, that a rosha is called a dead person because really he's not working on his neshama at all, and there no activity, there's no sensitivity of the neshama to feed the guf. But the perfect equilibrium of a tzaddik is the neshama feeds the guf, and the guf, and that's the bafli lasa, it's the pele. That's a little bit in a synopsis in halacha and also in hashkofa. Asher yotzei sodom b'chochma is the chochma, everything is provided, and according to the levush, the four systems. The chalulim, the 248 limbs. Kolu v'yadua lifnei is the loshen of the Gaon, where he says two things are in front of the kisei, the bathroom and the shofar, or the lashon, the hairs, everything is revealed in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what the guf needs. If it opens up, it closes on an animal or on a human animal. Yesha liskayim v'lamoid, we know, we would never be able to survive. The roifei chobosos is the healing process of everything inside the body, and the mafli lasos is the shidduch, which takes place between the neshama and the guf. But I'd like to end with a beautiful he'ora, which is, in, I suppose they would call a maimah muzkar, something worth thinking about the whole week. If you think about this before you say Asher Yotzah, an idea, a theme, which is perhaps behind all this boch of Asher Yotzah. There's a Gemara in Eruvin, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Noyach loy lo adam shenivro, is it worthwhile that a man was created or not? Machlokes, let's not go into the whole machlokes. Oh, but the end, the Gemara turns around. In the end, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both agree. In the end, Noyach loy lo adam shloy nivro. It would have been better that man would never have been created. The achshav shenivro, now that he has been created, yefashbeish b'maisav, says the Gemara, yemashmeish b'maisav, he must make something of his life. He must do something with himself. It would have been better that he wouldn't, because he makes so many mistakes. A person does so many avelos in his life. Is it worth it or is it not worth it? In the end, it's not worth it, says the Gemara. The fact that he is born, let him make something of his life and do something of it. Do something with it. Lamaisa, the Sefer, the Ksav, the Kabbalah, Sefer Iyun Tefillah, brings down a shaila on that machlokes. How can you turn around Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel and say Noyach lo la'adam shaloi nivro? If it says in the beginning of the creation, Bayar Elokim eskol asher vaya ki toiv, it was all created beautifully. Hashem was so had such nachas from his creation. Who is to say in Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel Noyach shaloi nivro? Does that be a chutzpah? Rabbi Hashem created the whole world, and then you turn around and say Noyach shaloi nivro? The same kasha is asked by the Ramban in Koheles. A man turns around, what does Shlomo HaMelech mean? Havel, Havolim, Akol, Hevel. Everything is Hevel, nothing's worth it. Ribbono Shel Olam said, Vayalakim ki toiv. So if Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, how can Shlomo HaMelech turn around and say it's all Hevel, Havolim? The Kasha, same Kasha. The Ramban answers and says that whenever you learn anything in Koheles, which is so critical and is so devastating, of everything there is, money isn't worth it, happiness isn't worth it, Chochma isn't worth it, everything seems to have a criticism to it. Says the Ramban, whenever you learn the Ankeni Koheles, you must always keep your finger on the last pasuk. Soif shol kol adam hakol nishma es elokim yerei ves mitzvos av shema kizeh kol adam. There's a tachlis, and if you find the tachlis, then everything is not hevel havolim. He explains in more detail that there's a chayme, there's a tzura, there's a poel, but the yikar is a tachlis. The tachlis in life is to find the purpose, the yiras shamayim. Otherwise, it's not worth it. Just to be involved in the chayim, the tzura, and the poel, without understanding the yir shamayim at the end, then you're right, hevel havolim. Bearing that in mind, and with that answer, maybe we can therefore look at the beginning of creation. We find that in the Bria of man, there were three references given for the creation of man. The first is in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Kof Zayin. The Pasuk says, Vayivro Elokim es ha'odom b'tzalmoy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man b'tzalmoy. B'tzalem Elokim boro oisoy. He was created. Previously, we see that the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Kofvov, I'm sorry, let's go to another Pasuk. The first reference is Vayivro Elokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bria on the creation. In Perek Beis, Pasuk Zayin, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim es ha'odom, ofer min ha'odom. Now we find that the Ribbono Shel Olam made a yitzira in the creation of man. Thirdly, we find in Perek Aleph, in Pasuk Kofov, Vayom Elokim na'aseh ha'odom b'tzalmeinu. The shaila is, why are there three different words used in the creation of man? The first is the bria, vayivro. The second is vayetzer, he formed him. And then finally, there's a word of Nasa Adam, let us make man. The meaning is like this. Bria means something from nothing. A bria is, there was nothing, and then there's something, that's Bereshis Bo Elokim, there was nothing. Now there's something, that's called a bria. A yitzira means something from something. Yitzira means a formation from what there already is. That's Vayetze Elokim. So in the beginning, man was created from nothing. From nothing, he created man. The creation of every man after creation is a yitzira. One man from another man. That's a yitzira. Naase Adam is his perfection, is his maintenance and his purpose in life. That's when it says Naase Adam. Naase Adam b'tzalmeinu, meaning kidmuseinu, that's the tzelem Elokim. The Naase and Adam is the tachlis, the purpose of creation. The machlokes of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai was noyach l'adam sheloi nivro, only on the word in the bria. You're right, if man is only going to be just a bria, it's not kedai to create him. There was no machlokes about the asiya of man, it was only a machlokes on the bria of man. The bria is just like an animal, he lives. He lives, he eats, and he uses the bathroom. For that, there's no purpose at all. That's just a bria. Noyach l'adam sheloi nivra. That's what the machlokes was about. There's no machlokes about the Naase Adam, the tachlis of him reaching a purpose. Maybe that's really the nekuda of the chizuk which we can take out of this bracha. Everybody uses the bathroom. An animal uses the bathroom. The point is that after using the bathroom, if a person can turn around and say with kavana, Asher yotz boruch ato Hashem, Asher yotz ha'es odom b'chochma, Reifei chol bosa, u'mafli lasos, look at that word, mafli lasos, it's a pella in his maintenance, in his perfection, the asiyah of man, then already his whole creation has been worthwhile, because he's lifted himself from just being a bria into becoming an asiyah, an action, a perfection which it has inside him. That's the teichen of this bracha. Simply just as a asher yotza, maybe that's the allusion in the words asher yotza es ha'odam b'chochma. After the bria, then every man is formed, one from another man. That's the creation of man. What's the tachlis? Mafli la'asos. It's behind the word the asiya. And in his maintenance, in his follow through, what he does with his, when he uses the bathroom, what he makes out of the bracha, then it becomes an asiya and it's worthwhile. This is really the point which needs to be followed through, which we'll do next week in Elokai Neshama. The same point is repeated in the Bocha Elokai Neshama, but for that you'll have to come back next week and we'll go into more detail. I wish you a good avoch, a mazel de gavoch, and mishenichnas adar marvin besimcha. If you would like any copies of this shiur, I have a handout, which if you'd like to see the whole shiur on a printout, it's down here on the table. A good avoch. Ari, can you give those papers out there? They're there, if anybody wants to shoot. Shalom, shalom aleichem.
Question, just yes. Since it seems to talk a lot about the bria, with today, in the family, we're talking about dinosaurs.
Right.
Is there anything in the Torah that Torah discusses this? Was it just, you know, stuff that was Hashem put there to make us have bechira? Is there anything?
The Vadai, it's bechira, because you see, like they say, stones are 5 million years old and all these things. That it's
but
all.
Do they really exist?
No, nothing is more than. Nothing is more than.
But did they exist? And maybe Hashem, the Bible,
exist?
Made it look like they were so
yes,
old,
maybe there were creatures like that. Maybe they were, but not more than 5,000 years.
No. But then they say even the 5,000 years, maybe the days of creation weren't really days that we think.
No,
maybe
it's
longer.
No. In Chazal, it's mamash those number of years. There's no question about that. No, but Hashem created them looking as if they...
Well, the Bible made it, gave that effect.
Yes,
that.
Definitely. That's the answer to it. Kol tov, agotavach, agotavach.
Morning, and I don't have to go again. So I can say it again before I listen to the Torah.
If you went back to sleep,
yeah,
it would be better. A tipa, maybe you can use it to make a tipa or something like that. Just for a drop.
And then on the other hand,
it's better to say, because in order to link Elokai Neshama.
Right. But in the case, if I don't say it, then on the chance, right, so I go to the bathroom.
It's better to use the bathroom again than make a tipa. Even on the tipa, you say, actually, yes.
A little bit.
So wait until the tiny tip, and then, uh-huh, then you can make the better.
Yeah. Right, right. On the other hand, if
you said already Asher Yotzah earlier.
Right, already said it.
Right.
You can't go.
But you went back to sleep. So you wait until you use the bathroom again.
Right. Another thing, just not say it, but then what happens is, then I'll have to go again, and then I lose out on the...
But you can't. Then you say, okay, just say, okay, without. Right. If you haven't got it, if you found it, nothing's nothing.
Okay.
Hakud Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Aboim. We missed you.
It's good to be missed. That means...
Bruchim Aboim.
There's some validity to my love, Baruch Hashem. You mentioned...
Yeah, you shall bear validity. How are you? How was your trip?
I went for the chasana of my grandson.
How wonderful, wonderful. I have a lot of nachas. They should build a bayis nemon b'Yisrael.
And it wasn't just the chusna of Kala, it was the families of Mel.
How beautiful.
Amen. You mentioned something that truly hit home. And that's one of the reasons I was seeing everything.